This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be here with you. A whole bunch of stuff to talk about today. Dana is everywhere. You can find her on X, on Twitter, at DLash or at the DLash Show. So a bunch of ways to find her out there. All right, let's do this first. So Trump and Zelensky spoke to the press together. Now, anytime you see any Democrat around Zelensky and you hear them speak, you almost feel as though they're about to bring the big giant check out and hand it to him with actually like a blank space for the amount of money, because we're just writing blank check after blank check to Ukraine. And Trump acts quite a bit differently. He would act the way that a lot of people would probably describe as a leader in front of this other person, by saying out loud some differences he has in what exactly will occur if and when he gets back into the White House. But here's a little bit of that. Zelensky is on a path of his own, answering a question about what needs to happen. And Trump comes in and says, well, there's got to be a fair deal. It's got to be fair, but this is going to end quickly if I'm in that office, which usually means, and honestly, to a whole lot of people who've heard him speak, that Ukraine probably will give in more than if, say, anyone in the Democratic Party has their way in any of this. Here we go.
Strongest of our soldiers, our people, of course, it will bring us closer to the peace. We need just peace. We need just peace. It's so important to have just peace for the people, especially for the families who lost their children. It's big tragedy.
President Trump, have you changed your thoughts on how this war should end, what you think should be done, or do you still stand by some of the previous
things? Well, I learned.
I'm actually going to stop it real quick before you get Trump's answer, and I know that might annoy some people, but I have to be honest. The way Zelensky led into this question was the families, they need just peace. They need as much as possible to be given back to Ukraine. This has long been the conversation about the contested areas between Russia and Ukraine, the Donbas region and whatnot. These are places that if the United States had been approached before any attack from Russia on Ukraine and asked to help Ukraine fight and gain control of these areas, we would have said no. A whole lot of countries would have actually said no to a request like that. So this would not be a rare moment where, say, our opinion would be that there could be some give and take in any sort of peace agreement. And Trump is then asked by a reporter exactly that question with the emotional, ploy being the lead into it, that people are fighting, people have died, and Ukraine needs to win as much as possible. And here's what Trump says.
A lot, but I think I haven't changed from the standpoint that we both want to see this end, and we both want to see a fair deal made, and it's got to be fair, and I think that'll happen at the right time. I think it's going to happen. The president wants it to end, and he wants it to end as quickly as possible. He wants a fair transaction to take place, and I think, right now I'm campaigning, so right now I don't have much to do with it other than we're doing very well in terms of the campaign, and I've been saying that I believe if I win, we're going to have a very fair and rather rapid deal. It should stop, and the president wants it to stop, and I'm sure President Putin wants it to stop.
I'll stop it right there, actually. I'll go ahead and stop it. One of the things that's going on, as you probably know, if you're still even paying attention to this, and I assume a lot of Americans have moved a little bit on from the Ukraine discussion than a couple years ago. But Ukraine is trying to strike into Russia, deeper and deeper into Russia. They're asking for U.S. permission to do it. And in that moment, when Trump is saying it should stop, what I'm hearing is no, you're not going to be able to strike further into Russia. There is going to be a deal. There is going to be a negotiation. Someone is going to have to accept some version of this that they haven't accepted before, because when I'm in a position of power, there will actually be risk on both sides. So far for Ukraine, well, I absolutely, believe in their right to defend themselves and believe the United States is right to provide them an ability to defend themselves from a military standpoint. I don't want to help pay for people's retirement and other things that have been going on so far. But as far as actually like sending them bullets and weapons, that's fine. But at the end of all this, you better have a version of an agreement that makes sense to both sides. And you haven't, because Russia wants some give and Ukraine wants no give. And I think Trump will force some of that to happen because without us, they can't, win that fight against Russia. And that's something that the United States does not have a conversation about very often, if at all, with the current people in power. But that is leadership to say that in front of him, to say that to the media, to not be afraid of the question, to not sidestep it, none of that. All right, let's move on. Some other things out there in the world, of course, a lot of people in this country are talking about Florida and any kind of hurricane and stuff going on there. And I thought it was interesting. There's this piece of audio that's going viral of Kamala Harris being asked a question about aid during floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, all kinds of things. And her answer is that certain communities deserve more than other communities. And this is based entirely on what communities she believes are often not given enough resources and which ones are given too many resources. So she's actually creating a racial dynamic or some other version of a dynamic around who gets aid in the case of a hurricane, a flood. Any, this is insane to hear someone say out loud in any way. And of course, if it's said in a certain way, people would be up in arms and it would be considered racist. For whatever reason, the left doesn't consider this version the same thing. But here's a little bit of what she was saying.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address
what?
This
what?
In a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity. And
so if you're somebody who's you know, not doing well in a community that's not of color, she said communities of color in her answer there, and your house gets torn down by a hurricane and you look and you go, hey, can I get some sort of assistance? Kamala Harris is actually going to look at you and be like, nah, I'm sorry about that. We can't give any assistance to you. We're doing this based on other rules, other things that usually make no sense to people or really shouldn't make any sense to people. This is crazy. This is the kind of thing that you don't think people would actually say out loud. But in the world we live in at this moment, for whatever reason, this might actually get you points. And actually, I want to jump to something else and then I'll go back to Harris, because there's something being talked about quite a bit with her and the border today. But I thought this was really interesting and it went quite viral. This is one individual. His name is Anton Daniels. He then has nine other people on this discussion with him, this panel discussion. They're all black. The host of this show is black. All the guests he has on are black voters. And one of the things that comes up is Harris and what you think of her. Not whether you think that she's a certain race, but just what you think of her as a person, what you think of her as a potential presidential candidate, the substance of the individual. So this is a great version of a conversation. And again, I guess because it's 2024, we'll use the rules of 2024 to say everybody speaking is black. If you want to get mad and call any of these people racist, that would be a tad confusing. But here we go. This is part of this discussion. It's like 2.5 minutes, and I'm tempted to play a whole lot of it because it's so good. Three of his guests chime in on a specific question about the viability of Kamala Harris as a president and her presidential behavior or lack thereof.
No, she is not presidential, and it will definitely come back to haunt people who vote for her. I think as long as people just don't really look for context in what they're saying or what she's saying, they'll just go along with it. They'll just go along. I was actually listening to a Tim Walz rally today. Just going for those applause moments and the stuff that will appeal to your emotions. And
yes,
but when in reality, they're just intellectually and emotionally manipulating you. So
I love when he says intellectually, they're emotionally manipulating you. That's something that they're doing. They are deciding to, they being the politicians, the Democrats, the left, to put race at the forefront of their discussion, but at the, on the back burner as far as any sort of actual actions that get done. And I'm not calling for those specifically. I'm just saying that, again, this is a tried and true version of promising you everything and giving you nothing that has apparently made quite a few people very, very mad, and they acknowledge it. They say it out loud, and they say it in a way where I guess our society or those in our society want to shut you up by claiming you're some sort of ist. Can't yell at these individuals and say that they're racist because it would mean they hate themselves. But it's not just one of his guests. It's many of his guests. There's more.
Does anybody disagree with that?
I agree 1,000%.
Why do you agree?
I mean, I've listened to a bunch of interviews that she's done, and well, I think she's done maybe like three outside of the presidential debate.
You're right, sir.
You can tell like she doesn't know what to say.
Yes.
And it's like she's reading from a teleprompter. You can see her eyes. But that one was she wasn't reading from a teleprompter. That's how you know she didn't know what to say. And that's how she had to get out of there, on time. So,
yes, she doesn't know what she's saying. She doesn't know how to answer questions. She struggles as much as possible. And again, I told you there's even more people on this call that say the same thing.
Watch, I observe her when she actually is on. When someone actually interviews her, she never answers questions. She give a bunch of word salad. She's not straightforward.
Uh-huh.
If she wants to be presidential, she needs to be transparent about what her policies are. She needs to be transparent about what her plans are.
She's not going to do any of that because she's hoping that the people who vote for her are dumb. She treats people stupid. The Democratic Party treats their voters like they are much dumber than the voters on the other side of the aisle. I'm not saying that to be offensive. I'm saying it because it's true, because they don't believe they have to answer questions to win elections. I'm not saying that a lot of Republicans answer questions much differently, but they truly believe, the Democrats, that their message can entirely be the other guys are bad. We'll do a better job. Don't ask us what we'll actually do, because she had no policy positions on her website for quite some time. And then they just copy and pasted it on from Biden's page. But I do love the way this ends, too. Right before we take a break, I thought this was also hilarious.
To follow up on that, is there anything that you like about her?
Not a single thing.
No.
Hold on, wait. Before y'all answer.
The whole group is like, no, we don't. There's nothing we like. We can't find. What do you like about her? Go ahead and tell us, because we can't find a shred of anything. And then he has to pump the brakes and be like, wait a minute, guys, we really got to think about this before everyone in this group decides that you like nothing about that candidate for office of the president, which, darn it, they talked about actual substance. And how dare they in the world we live in? A great job by all of those involved, and great video to go viral right now. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
No matter why you're preparing emergency survival food, it's crucial that your supplies last as long as you need them without compromising on flavor. It doesn't have to taste awful. Check out my top recommendation for the best survival food available, and that's ReadyWise Foods. Stocking up on ReadyWise emergency food means that you're set for whatever comes your way. Whether it's a natural disaster, a power outage, an unforeseen storm, having a well-prepared stash helps you tackle any challenge with assurance. Stock up with 8 servings of brown sugar maple oatmeal, 12 servings of whey milk, and 4 each of cheesy macaroni, teriyaki rice, and tortilla soup. It's perfect for groups or just a hearty solo meal. And you can enjoy real tasting meals with ReadyWise. Savor hot, comforting meals in any crisis. ReadyWise is essential gear with a 25-year shelf life, providing easy to cook, delicious meals for your survival supplies. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced items. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off. ReadyWise.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Find Dana everywhere, danaradio.com, D-Lash, or Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Let's do a top five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. A quick five is what I meant there. All right. First and foremost, I thought it was interesting. The first half of the Giants Cowboys game was all about flags, 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 flags. So much so that Al Michaels got in on making fun of it. Al Michaels, a guy that a lot of people said was past his prime as far as a broadcaster goes just recently. But this was a nice shot. This was a good dig.
It's not a curve. We got another flag. It's like June 14th here. Otherwise known as Flag Day, as you know.
I like that you got to actually explain it, by the way. He had to take the extra step. June 14th, everybody. It's Flag Day out there, and they're just throwing flags left and right. That does ruin the pace of the game and annoys a whole lot of us watching the game. It was also a dud, that game. And the Giants, I'm actually a fan of them, are, well, terrible. So that was a thing. Sunday is National Coffee Day. Apparently, I do think most of these holidays, or whatever you want to call them, are real, real stupid. But apparently, it's caused people to ask how much caffeine is too much caffeine for you. In actuality, like the thing the health people would say, and then in practice. And I don't know that there is a too much. I love caffeine. I love as much caffeine as possible. I'm an energy drink guy. I know I'm told it's bad. I guess I don't care. 300 to 400 milligrams of caffeine a day is the highest amount you should possibly be taking. That's according, again, to the experts. Trust them if you want to. If you have too much caffeine, insomnia, jitters, heart palpitations, all kinds of bad things. But then also awesome moments of energy. I'm not encouraging you to go above and beyond, but somewhere between 300 and 400 is what people say are safe, which is about 4 cups of coffee per day. Anything more than that, unsafe. Although, again, as I said, I guess I don't really care. Simple pieces of advice that have improved people's lives, according to Reddit. I do love when these sort of lists come out. If you can't beat the fear, do it scared was number one. If you're afraid of something, don't not do it. Don't not say it. Just live in that moment where you're afraid, but then also doing the thing. I love that. Talk yourself into doing things by saying, just do it as a joke. Or just, you know, do it in a insincere way. I'm not sure that I love that advice as much, but darn it, as long as it gets you to try stuff. It's better to ask stupid than to do stupid. I'm sorry. I love that one so much. What that person means is that you ask a dumb question, you prevent yourself from doing something dumb because you didn't ask a question. So asking question always better than going ahead and acting first. I do agree with that. You can't control the emotions you feel, but you can control the actions you do regarding those emotions. I'm not sure if the advice is supposed to be shut up a little bit more, but that wouldn't be so bad for some people. You don't have to share every emotion you're feeling at every moment with everyone and assume they're supposed to care about that. But nonetheless, it is true. You can't handle the way you feel sometimes, I guess, but you can control what you do in those moments. And then finally, never accept criticism from someone you wouldn't accept advice from. I kind of like that. I'm not sure if I love that one, but that's not so bad. If someone has no interest in helping you, has no interest in doing something for your benefit, giving you any sort of advice that would better whatever situation you're in, they might not be the best person to turn to for the things you're going to ask them you need to correct about yourself, but they also might be the most honest. They might be the person least likely to lie to you and tell you everything's great when you think maybe it's not so great. But that's pretty good, too, as far as advice out there goes in the world. So those are some of the most significant pieces of advice people have been given that have improved their lives. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. A lot coming up, including more discussion about Zelensky and Trump in just a bit.
Our partners over at Byrnagun, BYRNA. If you, it's always good to have options for self-defense, especially if you live in areas where they try to restrict where you can carry, what you can carry. I always advocate for people to carry, and I have zero problem myself in using lethal force to protect myself or protect my loved ones. If you're in a city like a friend of mine in D.C. who can't carry everywhere she needs to go, and you want to be able to defend yourself, but your options are limited, you should check out the Byrnagun, because the Byrnagun is going to give you that alternative option of self-defense. And the Byrnagun, the cool thing is that you don't have to go through a background check and you don't have a waiting period, and they will literally send it right to your door. It's legal in all 50 states. The model, the most popular model in the Byrnagun, by the way, shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. It has a 5-round capacity. When you compare it to stun guns, they only have a couple of shots. Byrna has 5. You can go and look at all the different models that they have. The Byrna SD, like I said, is their most popular one. They have different projectiles, accessories, and more. To learn more about the Byrna gun, visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase today.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Dana is back on Monday. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, to stay connected to her. Also, you can stay tuned 12 to 3 East every day, weekdays, the Odyssey app, channel 347, all kinds of ways to find Dana Lash. All right, let's do a couple things. First, the governor in Georgia, Brian Kemp, has said that very sadly, the Hurricane Helene, has been deadly there. They have lost 11 lives, and some of the unpredictability of the storm has been a big part of the problem in its path in general. I know that's part of what has caused Florida to be weary, and of course, remembering Hurricane Ian, but not actually seeing the devastation, and unlikely to see, according to their meteorologists, the kinds of havoc that they saw a couple years ago. But here's a little bit from Georgia.
At this time, this has been a deadly storm. We've had 11 confirmed fatalities. I would ask all Georgians like the Kemp family's doing to keep these folks and these communities in your thoughts and prayers.
Of course.
We know that one of those was a first responder. When we ask people to stay off the roads and be patient, it's because we are trying to get to people. It is a very dangerous environment, and one of our finest has lost his life trying to save others.
Okay, I have to stop it there. First, of course, tragedy. Second, the reason I always get so angry when I hear conversations about defund the police or any version of disrespect for those who are first responders, for those who are people that run toward danger when the rest of us are trying to run away, whatever it is. It's because of stuff like this. The first responders are putting their lives on the line. The paramedics, the firefighters, the police officers, the people who've sworn to protect your community in some way. Every time that they put on their uniform, every time that they put on whatever it is that they need in order to do their day of work. And when we disrespect any of those agencies, the way that so often the Democrats did in calling for defunding of them, and I don't mean the few and very far between people who, do things wrong with the trust that is given to them by the community. I mean, all the other individuals who do the right thing every day, and someone like this who loses their life trying to save others, it is a tragedy. And this is the reason why that is so disrespectful and so, I don't know, just infuriating for so many of us. All right, I will move on, but that is the latest as far as some of the news, as far as bad weather is concerned or emergency and, dangerous weather is concerned. I have to move on to talk about Eric Adams a little bit, the mayor of New York. I remember right when he first started to say, and very different than, say, a lot of the other Democrats at the time, that what was going on as far as illegal immigration was very bad for him and for people in New York City. It was not going well. They were not happy about it. And they started to not just blame evil Republicans who were sending people from whatever state they were claiming they were being sent from to New York, Texas, Florida, wherever it might be, but actually starting to blame the Biden administration as well. And I remember at the time, even Trump being willing to say he's going to get in trouble for saying this. They're going to go after him. They're going to attack him. He was indicted, of course. He did plead not guilty. Here's something Trump said about this recently and saying that it was just par for the course for what he assumes is the people going after you when you say something honest. Now, certainly Eric Adams and Trump disagree on a whole bunch of things. Adams is no fan of Trump, I imagine, except maybe he's a little bit more now. But still, this is an interesting moment. Because there might be a few reasons for it from a political play standpoint, but there's also this.
I will say this. I watched about a year ago when he talked about how the illegal migrants are hurting our city and the federal government should pay us and we shouldn't have to take them. And I said, you know what? He'll be indicted within a year. And I was exactly right.
He was right.
Because that's what we have. We have people that use the Justice Department and the FBI at levels that have never been seen before. So I wish him luck. I don't know anything about what he did, but I told a lot of...
I do really like that. I wish him luck. I don't know what he did. He could have done something wrong. It could be something he did that's very bad and he could get in trouble for it. But nonetheless, he's a target for a reason. And here's what I'll say about this. And this is why I think this is so important. I bet you there's a whole lot of politicians, and I doubt you're going to disagree with this, actually, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, that could be indicted right now. They could find something that they've done that's definitely illegal and throw them in the hoosegow for as long as they want to throw them in the hoosegow. A whole bunch of politicians are easily found to have done things that are bad, in my opinion. But the power structure that exists in D.C. does not go after a large majority of its own. They don't want to go after their own. They don't want to punish their own. But what they do want to do is potentially, and every so often, show someone to be the person that's going to be the example and not the rule. And if you sidestep us or if you step out of line the way he did, well, this is coming for you too. So I imagine it's a warning shot that's been taken by Democrats toward Democrats to make sure that they all say and do exactly what they're supposed to do, regardless of if Eric Adams actually did something wrong or not, which he claims, again, he's pled innocent, that he didn't do. But even if he did do stuff wrong, I imagine, again, that he's just one of few that actually get these repercussions thrown at them. And that's the other caveat to this discussion, is Trump has been saying for quite some time that the Justice Department is weaponized against them. And now you have the Rachel Maddows of the world, the MSNBCs out there saying, see, Eric Adams getting in trouble demonstrates that this is not true, that they don't go after just Republicans, that they go after Democrats as well. But it's interesting that the person who's actually being thrown to the fire is someone who was vocally critical of this current administration, more so than anyone else that we were hearing from. If it had been, you know, a Democrat that was singing the praises of Biden, saying that he should be on Mount Rushmore, which I think was something Pelosi said, and then they had the book thrown at them, you'd say to yourself, well, maybe, just maybe, some of those cracks are starting to form. Some of these things that go on behind the scenes that we don't know about are finally seeing some daylight. They're finally getting some of their, you know, the comeuppance that you assume has to be happening at some point with so much in D.C. And then you realize that that's probably not the case with Adams specifically, because he bit the hand that feeds. So I just think it's interesting that it might be beneficial as far as a narrative goes for Democrats to point to it right now, to say they're fair when they're obviously not fair. And you have tons of examples that demonstrate that. But also the uniqueness in who actually wound up being the person that was getting in trouble, because that individual, well, darn it, he wasn't exactly singing the praises of the people that are now going after him. All right. Another thing out there that I thought was interesting, Kamala Harris is going to the border. She's going to tell you that she's someone who wants to fight, who wants to protect the border all the time. There is so much audio that disproves every aspect of what Harris is going to say or will say about the border up until Election Day. It is hilarious. I don't know another word for it. This is some of the funniest stuff. I'll play a 50-second clip of all the time she said that coming into our country illegally is not actually a crime, which it by definition is exactly a crime. And someone who's a prosecutor and claims that as a prosecutor, she did this hard work to prevent people from coming in should know this. But she definitely didn't believe this very, very recently. And now she's going to tell us that the whole time she's thought of things a certain way.
It is wrong to somehow suggest then an undocumented immigrant is a criminal. No. Being an undocumented immigrant is not a crime.
I know what
you.
A crime looks like. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
They came in illegally without the right to be here, but that's not a crime. I know what they look
an
like.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
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 I think you get the idea, and I can keep going. That was only 24 seconds of a 50-second clip. That was honestly a short clip to begin with, but she just keeps saying that. Also, of course, the fact that she's going to the border in general is kind of hilarious, because many of us remember, as the vice president put in charge of the border, she told Lester Holt one time on ABC News, I think this was 2021, I don't need to go there. I can figure everything out from here. Why would I need to go there?
You have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You have.
I love this part of this. Every time I play this, it's so great. We've been there. She says it like six times, hoping they just move on.
I haven't been to the border.
You've never gone.
And I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
The point is very simple, ma'am. The point is that you should probably go there and see for yourself the things that are a problem. She's going to go now. And she's going to tell you that she cares about this, that she's on top of this, that she's preventing this from getting any worse. She's going to Arizona. And you should laugh at that. Many, many people should find that hilarious. And of course, choose Arizona because she thinks it's a swing state that she can win, even if it's actually leaning quite a bit toward Trump specifically. But nonetheless, it's all political. It's a movie. I have a buddy of mine that believes in more what some people call conspiracy theories than most. And he tells me a whole lot of things are a movie. And I agree sometimes. I disagree others. But this stuff is absolutely just something that they create, that they do for no benefit to anyone except themselves, to try to claim that they care about something they don't care about, and to put it all over their social media pages or hope the news covers it, which for Harris, of course, they will, and then pretend that the truth is something that it's evidently not. One last thing, and I thought this was really interesting, too, actually. This was a discussion about just how bad things have gotten in the world for the United States since Biden and Harris took over. And some of these points are probably missing in a lot of this discussion, but this one is exceptional.
We have lost 7 United States embassies under his presidency.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So we have embassies all over the world. Yes. In every country. That is essentially sovereign American territory. under his watch, we have had to evacuate seven United States embassies.
I did not know that.
That has never happened in American history.
So weak.
Never.
We are. That's how weak we
That's
are.
That's how weak we are on the world stage. What? That's how bad it is.
Okay. Help me. What? Why has that happened? Why?
I love that Sage Steele, by the way, she's the one who's doing that interview, is asking Byron Donaldson, like, what did we do wrong? How did this get so bad? I didn't even know it was this bad.
We evacuating because there's no protection. There's no fear.
I'm going to say real quick, and I'm going to give it to Wes.
Yeah, yeah.
When you are weak and our adversaries know you're weak, they push you.
Yes.
It's no different than the bully in the schoolyard.
Yes.
If you're timid and a bully knows he can get away with it, what happens? He comes for your lunch money every single week.
Yes. Right. He'll do more and more and more. Byron Donalds is actually right in saying that, in behaving that way, and saying that the big problem for us right now on the world stage is a lack of belief by those who think we would pose the biggest threat to whatever agenda they want in us actually taking action against them. Whether it is Russia, in some cases, whether it is some of the countries that we work with that we're trying to help, thinking that they can also bully us and push us around. It's very interesting in light of this, in light of all the discussions going on about the weakness of the president, of the vice president, if she were actually to become the next leader of this country, as far as these sort of things go. And then also seeing the way Trump handles even Zelensky. Again, an ally, a friend, in saying that I still believe I'll end that conflict quickly because there will be a deal that will be fair, but a deal that will be struck between both countries, something that the United States is not trying to actually influence to the degree that Trump would, of course, do it. So I think that that's very interesting, too, but quite the statement that we've lost several embassies during this time because people aren't taking us seriously. And it's not because we don't have the power to be taken seriously. We lack the leadership. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Partners that help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Kel-Tec. It's the P15. The P15 should be your choice for concealed carry. It is the lightest, thinnest, double stack, 9mm on the market. And it's made by the people who invented the micro compact pistol category. That is Kel-Tec. There's the metal version and the polymer version, and both come with two magazines, standard 15 round with minimal pinky extension. You also have flush fit double stack magazine that holds 12 rounds, tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, lifetime warranty, compact, easily concealable, and it's from Kel-Tec. Quality, performance, innovation, Kel-Tec. Learn more about the P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
That's right. This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Find her on so many different places, DirecTV, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio as well, on Twitter, on X, if you want to go there. All right, a couple things. First, apparently a restaurant in New York is trying to prove to you that they have the freshest chicken, that their chicken is absolutely the best. And so in order to do that, this place called Bird Box is leaving the foot attached to the $19 sandwich that they're selling to you. I think I actually have audio of one of the guys who's behind this place talking about why this is, one, unique, and two, good, or also just odd to a whole lot of people. I know there's people like, oh, my God, I couldn't eat it because now I'm thinking of it as an actual animal. You probably should have been thinking that the whole time. But I don't need a foot attached to my food. That's something I'd pass on, too. Here we go.
We serve the sandwich as a testament to the quality of the chicken that we serve. And that goes for the wings and the breast sando, but this is our see it and believe it proof. So the foot is our way to show that what you're getting is a natural and freely raised chicken that we are proud to serve. It's a special cut that we have, which is then painstakingly prepared over days and nights to get the juicy and tender flavor that we're known for here.
And also the foot to make sure that it's displayed well and that you can check it to make sure that you think that this animal was cage free or whatever it is they want it to be. This is hilarious to me. I wonder how many people like actually are happy to see the foot still attached to their chicken sandwich to know, okay, good. Thank God that this is living up to the thing I hoped that it would be. I find this hilarious. Also, other news out there. A mom was arrested in California for allegedly sneaking her children into Disneyland. Apparently, she did this four times in a couple of months. She kept claiming the kids were under the age of two, and they evidently were not. And so eventually, she got arrested. She got handcuffed and everything, and was told that the kids had to somehow find somebody else to watch them. as you're going off to jail, because you can't sneak kids into Disneyland. It's not a place where dreams come true. It's a place where mom gets arrested. I feel bad for this woman, even though she was breaking the law, and you do have to be found to be in trouble for the things you do that are bad. But nonetheless, like, this is odd. I wonder how old the kids, I didn't see it in the story here, actually are, because just claiming they're both under the age of two, if they're, you know, as tall as you are, probably isn't going to really work out all that well. But apparently they finally figured it out. A fourth time was not the charm. She was arrested. One last thing. I do like that this is just going viral. This is about Eric Adams and all the stuff that's going on surrounding him. His innocent plea today for the wire fraud, the bribery charges that he's facing in his indictment. A supercut of all the times he compared New York to other countries is going viral because people are wondering if this was a sign that maybe he was doing some bad things.
Everyone knows that New York City is the Athens of America, is the Istanbul of America, is the Keys of America, is the soul of America. We are the Tel Aviv of America. New York City is the Islamabad of America, the Zagreb of America. We are the Lima of America. New York City is Mexico City of America. This is the Dublin of America, New York City.
It is. It's all these things and more, according to Eric Adams. Now, again, I'll say something I said earlier in the show. I do think that it's interesting that one of the most vocal critics of the Biden administration and the way that they've handled the border and the way that they've allowed for just unchecked versions of undocumented immigrants to flow through our country is now getting indicted and charged with bribery, wired fraud, all kinds of things. But it's not a great look to have this out there of all the times you compared yourself to all the other countries of the world or all the other cities in countries of the world that you think New York is exactly like. And also probably trying to, you know, cater to all those different voters you think are out there to try to get reelected. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey. That's cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. So many places to find Dana Lash. See her live on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV 347, and find her on X on Twitter, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio. Two places to stay connected to everything she's got going on. I thought there were a couple interesting things out there when you're diving deeper into some of this polling that's been coming out recently. Voters in Arizona are leaning more and more toward Trump. There was a short amount of time, according to some of these polls. I know they're not all created equal. I know some of them seem more like crap than other ones did. But where Harris seemed to be doing better, that was maybe the beginning of the bump that she got when she first took the nomination from Biden without getting any votes in the primary. Darn it, who cares about democracy? The Democrats obviously don't. But nonetheless, after all that happens, things have now flipped back and Trump is leading by, I think, 3 or 4 points, depending on what poll you see. Even more than that, something I think is pretty interesting here is just the stark difference in how younger voters are behaving than in the past. And actually, CNN dove deeper into this than I think some on CNN wanted them to. But it was during an explanation of, you know, OK, Harris is still winning in some of this polling when you look at 35 and younger or even 29 and younger voters. But it's not as extreme as it's been in the past. Even Biden in 2020 had 10 or 12 points more support from those groups than Harris has across the board. But then you dive even deeper. And this is what I loved about this reporting into some of the demographics in swing states. And you see just how significant that voter block could be for Trump. And I have reasons why I believe that is true. But first, I'll go ahead and play the audio. This is from CNN. This is their diving deeper and deeper into information that they say comes from, you know, the New York Times and other places. So not necessarily places that would want to fake things to benefit Trump. Here we go.
Let's go into those swing states. And I want to look at what I think is one of the most those interesting nuggets. This is not from our CNN poll. This is from the New York Times Siena College. But I really think it gives you an indication that voters under the age of 30 are not a monolith. Let's look at men voters and let's look at female voters, women voters. Look at this. Among women voters, look at this lead for Kamala Harris in the key swing states for voters under the age of 30. A 38-point advantage. Male voters, men voters, Donald Trump was actually leading him by 10 points. That is it.
I love how shocked he is. Like, Donald Trump's actually doing well against half of these voters, for half of these voters of this specific group. So, again, if you didn't understand the data that's coming out, this is merging all of the polls in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin together, and just looking at people aged 18 to 29 and what they're saying in these surveys, 10-point lead for Donald Trump with male voters 18 to 29. Why would that be? Oh, is that because a lot of the rhetoric of today, of this society, actually pretty much tells young men that they're the problem, that they're the issue, that they're the one that's causing all these, you know, terrible things to happen in our society. There's this version of hate's okay in some shape or form, according to those who are fighting hate, who are saying that they're the woke people. They're the ones who, you know, care about everybody and want to respect everyone. But it's okay occasionally, as long as you're hating the right people a little more.
48-point gender gap. Woof. But, of course, are these voters going to actually turn out and vote? Extremely motivated to vote in the 2024 election. Overall voters, look at this, 64%. For voters under the age of 30, it's just 49%. I think the key question isn't just who they're going to vote for.
Yeah.
It's whether they'll turn out and vote.
Well, and this is why mail-in balloting became such a significant aspect to voting for the Democratic side of the aisle, is hopefully mom fills it out for you. Or hopefully somehow, some way, the people who just are disenfranchised with the government will have the vote sent in for them. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other conversations we can have about that. But I think that that's a big part of this. And even when you hear a 38-point lead with female voters of that generation for Harris, how many of them are actually motivated to show up and vote because they actually believe that Harris is going to do good things for our country and our society? I don't know. I think that question is pretty valuable to be asked and to continue to be asked. All right, let's look at one of the biggest stories of the day. I started with the voter stuff. I probably should have started with this, but I couldn't help it. This is Trump and Zelensky speaking after meeting earlier today. And Zelensky is on a path in the conversation, talking about all the emotional things that make him believe and make a lot of Americans actually believe that Ukraine should get whatever they want in order to win this fight against Russia. They should strike deeper into Russia. They should, you know, fight back. And I don't blame Ukraine for feeling this way even a little bit. And I'll go ahead and make sure to preface with anything else I say, because it's necessary in the world we live in right now, that I do not want Russia to take over Ukraine. And I do think the United States and others should prevent that from happening by supplying Ukraine with the bullets and things they need to fight. I don't think we should give them money for other things like they keep asking us for, like we've kept doing. But when it comes to actually defending their country, I believe in that. But there are contested areas between both countries that Russia would like to take, like it took Crimea. And that's a version of a discussion that these current people in power, this current administration here in the United States, refuses to have. But Trump seems like he'd be much more open to an agreement that winds up deciding some of that area is no longer Ukraine's, something that Ukraine has said they would not accept. But they'd have to if the United States created more pressure. But anyway, here's Zelensky saying the emotional stuff, and then Trump coming back after a question with, yeah, but there's going to be a deal and it's going to be fair, and hopefully this ends soon.
Strongest of our soldiers, our people, of course, it will bring us closer to the peace. We need just peace. We need just peace. It's so important to have just peace for the people, especially for the families who, you know, who lost their children. It's a big tragedy.
President Trump, have you changed your thoughts on how this war should end, what you think should be done, or do you still stand by some of the previous things?
Well, I learned a lot, but I think I haven't changed from the standpoint that we both want to see this end, and we both want to see a fair deal made, and it's got to be fair, and I think that'll happen at the right time. I think it's going to happen. The president wants it to end, and he wants it to end as quickly as possible. He wants a fair transaction to take place, and I think right now I'm campaigning, so right
I'm
now
not in
I don't
charge
have much to do with it, other
right.
than we're doing very well in terms of the campaign, and I've been saying that I believe if I win, we're going to have a very fair and I think actually rather rapid deal. It should stop, and the president wants it to stop, and I'm sure President Putin wants it to stop. And that's a good combination. So we want to have a fair deal for everybody.
I love the idea that you would say it that way, too, that even Putin would want to see the end of this conflict. And yes, Russia wants to gain something out of this. And Ukraine does not want them to gain anything. And the United States, by and large, would not want to see Russia gain much. But nonetheless, that finds us in a path to the end of the fighting and a position that the United States would have been in years ago to not actually help Ukraine take back contested areas between the two countries. A little bit more of this, though.
The vision is fair.
Well, it's too early to say that. I mean, I have my own ideas, and I'm sure the president definitely has his own ideas, but it has to be fair.
This war shouldn't be.
I think it's fantastic. Again, I'm going to cut off Zelensky there as he starts to go about what he thinks should be fair, because they do disagree, and that will be at the forefront of the discussion, and it will matter. But that's what leadership actually looks like. That's intimidating, granted, to some extent, our friends, but also absolutely those who we disagree with, those who we oppose and stand up against. It's showing that the United States is a force and a powerful one, and one that can help dictate the terms, even terms that are uncomfortable to the side that says they are our ally, that says we are friends with them, because without that, there is no end to this conflict. Believing that the United States can aid Ukraine in fighting Russia the way Ukraine wants to do it is a never-ending war that will not finish, because Russia is too powerful of a country to lose to Ukraine, even with weapons from us, without actually intervention as far as fighting and boots on the ground, which will never happen. But nonetheless, it's a pretty powerful moment, and one that the Democrats will not have today or at any point with Zelensky or anyone else. All right, some other things out there that I thought were interesting. This is just amusing to me. Trump was talking about Pelosi and some of the deals that she and her husband seem to be able to make, and some of the selling of stock before things wind up getting very bad for certain organizations, certain companies. All of this should matter. All of this is the draining of the swamp stuff. I think it's talked about all the time. That hasn't happened to the degree that you want it to happen. And you just wonder to yourself if anyone else in our society other than Trump has any interest in even getting this done. As you're watching Eric Adams plead innocent to his indictment out of the things that they're claiming he's doing, wire fraud and everything else, you think to yourself, I bet you a whole lot of politicians are doing this, whether they're getting caught for it or not. I bet you a lot more could be indicted today. It doesn't mean that the indictment against Adams isn't also politically motivated for a variety of reasons, but it does create a caveat or a, you know, side discussion about just what is going on. So here we go.
Everyone knows they threatened the 25th Amendment. They threatened him with the 25th Amendment. They said, Joe, you're going to get out. And Nancy Pelosi led the charge. And Nancy Pelosi has a little problem because her husband sold their Visa stock. They had a lot of Visa stock one day before Visa was announced that Visa is being sued by the Department of Justice. Think of that. Nancy Pelosi sold vast amounts of Visa stock one day before the big lawsuit that we all read about a few days ago was brought against Visa. You think it was luck? I don't think. She should be prosecuted.
She should be prosecuted. I absolutely agree with him. Although actually some of the facts there, I think it was over a 2-month period that Pelosi's husband was selling stock in Visa. But that still doesn't mean that you're lucky in that scenario. You might have known about this for a couple months, but the DOJ plans to open a lawsuit against Visa, saying they illegally monopolized the U.S. debit card market. And that's going to cause a lot of shares to go down. And just luckily, somehow, I mean, honestly, this is something I love saying. It's generic. You've heard a version of it before. So it's not like it's the deepest thought that anyone's ever had who is on a radio station somewhere. But every time I have a discussion, especially with a younger person, about how the Democrats are better than the Republicans, they're the good guys. And we don't want to vote for the bad guys. We want to vote for the good guys, which is such a ridiculously flawed concept to begin with. I usually point to this. This is the first and easiest way to say you don't have good guys in D.C. There's almost none of them on either side of the political aisle, in all honesty, because the selfishness, the whatever you call it, gets to too many individuals. But how does someone who has almost no net worth go into our government and wind up worth millions or billions of dollars by the time they leave a lifetime career as a, quote, public servant? This is how that happens. Insider trading, corruption, and crap. And they do it just blatantly and in front of you, and then they refuse to answer questions about it, and they hope that we ignore it. So these are the things that demonstrate that there are no good guys, and easily the things I point to when the young people, who often get very mad at whoever the rich people in our society are, they blame them for the problems they have. Well, darn it, a lot of those political elites are part of the problem for you, too. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Black Rifle Coffee makes the best coffee that is out there. It's just so good. I mean, the flavor is just unmatched. Now, right now, if you want to maybe sample some for yourself, or maybe you have a friend who loves coffee, and I actually did this. I have a friend who loves coffee who had not tried Black Rifle Coffee before, and I sent them this Complete Mission Fuel Kit. It's a variety sampler of classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. And so you can get 4-ounce bags, and these are all my favorites. I swear I didn't pick them. They just happen to all be my favorites. The Beyond Black, the AK-47 Espresso, the Silencer Smooth, and the Just Black, which is what I had today. Every flavor is amazing, and it comes in this really cool blue box. So it's a really great gift for people who love coffee. And this one is in the ground texture, but you can get each of these in whole bean K-cups ready to drink. I mean, they've got every variety, every kind of every sort of coffee that they make. And you can save 20% with code Dana. So save some money at this veteran-owned, veteran-run business that's dedicated to the mission of supporting vets and first responder causes as well. And also on the website, you'll find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. And while you're there, consider joining the Black Rifle Coffee Club. You can choose your favorite roast or roasts, the frequency of shipment, and have it show up at your doorstep, free shipping every month, so you never run out of coffee. So get and experience the outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. Find her, danaradio.com, also DLash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. First, I thought this was hilarious and it had to be fake, but it doesn't seem like it's fake. Andrew Cuomo is hoping to get the New York City mayor's job. He thinks that at some point, Eric Adams is going to step down or drop out of trying to get reelected. And so he's eyeing it, even though his own team has said he has, quote, no plans to make plans. It sounds like he's very much contemplating it, mostly because he's got a bunch of extra money just sitting around. Millions in leftover campaign funds from when he was the governor. So he's thinking about becoming a mayor, and it'd be hilarious if New York was willing to elect him for a variety of reasons and all the stuff he's been accused of and also denied. Another thing out there that's pretty funny, two guys with the exact same name, I mean identical name, Bernie McDonough, were both committing crimes together. They thought it was the perfect cover-up for their crimes because no one would figure out both of them are involved. One guy's 56, the other guy's 35, no relation, just apparently an identical name. They were caught. You can't break into houses and steal stuff, and eventually people who have cameras turn them over to police and they get you. But they were doing this for several days, and both of them thought, again, that the cover-up would be that it couldn't be two dudes with the same name. No way. And yes way, that in fact is what happened. Another thing out there that I like, companies have tried to recruit Gen Z by putting out social media videos, specifically on TikTok, that are directed by their Gen Z employees. This is when owners of all kinds of businesses who are not in that generation put up a video where they throw out Gen Z slang, and they hope this gets more Gen Z people to work there, similar to the way that politicians do this sort of stuff, where they put out videos that they definitely do not seem to understand and just hope for the best. But this is the best way, according to some employers, to recruit younger people to their companies. If you're looking for that sort of thing, to go ahead and put out a video where you show them that you get it. You're just like they are, and you say all the things they say. And one last one, and I did just find this funny. A woman went viral for saying that she put in her signature years ago, her like Gmail signature, that she loves Justin Bieber's new haircut. And as an adult, she found out that it was still in most of her emails.
This is the story of how I found out that every email that I've sent since I was 10 years old has had the auto signature. I'm in love with Justin Bieber's new haircut.
I'm going to stop it. The story's not that great, but she actually just said that she wasn't aware that Gmail kept that in there if you deleted it yourself, especially if you put it on your phone. And so, yes, in her professional life, in her 20s, she's been been telling people she's still a big, big fan. The Biebs hair, which I find hilarious. Check your Gmail signature was her warning to anyone else out there. Good advice, probably for sure. All right, I got to take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Keep your finger on the pulse with The Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Dean Lash or Dana Lash Radio. Best ways to stay connected to her on X, on Twitter, but a whole bunch of other stuff out there. Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, DirecTV, all over the place. All right. First, Kamala Harris did appear at a press conference with Volodymyr Zelensky, the president in Ukraine, and answered no questions. Trump, of course, in his interview, which you'll hear again in about 30 minutes on this show, talked about how there's going to be a deal if he gets into that office, and the deal is going to be fair. And it seems like the deal might not be exactly what Zelensky wants. And he was willing to say it to his face and answer questions from reporters. That's the difference between these two and between these parties, in all honesty, or just one of many differences. Something else that's gone viral in the last 24 hours. The New York Times absolutely eviscerated Harris's interview on MSNBC. Talked about how much of a joke it was, how few questions were answered. So what do they do in response to that? What does MSNBC do? They throw Stephanie Ruhle, who conducted the interview, on Morning Joe to tell you how it's not a big deal that Harris didn't answer any questions. There's something uniquely gross about this, and I'll play it in a second. If you have an opportunity as someone who wants to claim to be an actual journalist to interview a politician on either side of the aisle, a side you support or a side you don't, one of the things you have an option to do is challenge them. And if you think that they're not going to answer your questions, if you actually accept this going in, you should press as hard as possible to make that a thing they actually do. You shouldn't joke about it and be like, well, she wasn't going to do it anyway. So what am I supposed to do? This is gross coming from the person who gets the shot that a lot of other media would want to challenge the vice president, the person who's running for that office of president on the Democratic side of the aisle. It's not like you got a chance to interview somebody who's opinions are insignificant. You should have tried harder. And she seems to think that that's a joke. Here we go.
And do I think that she answers every single question and gives people exactly what they want? She doesn't. Do you know why? Because she's a politician. And none of them do. Oh. They all speak in platitudes. But Donald Trump has given absolutely nothing except mass. Right.
Okay, again, we're going to stop this for a second, too, by the way, because that's the only defense of people who fail to do their job. Her job was to challenge the vice president to get her to tell us stuff that she hasn't told anyone in these very few and far between interviews that she does. And her excuse is, well, she wasn't going to do it anyway, so why even bother? And also let me go ahead and vilify the opponent, which is her message all along, instead of actually answering the question. There was even another moment that was kind of jarring as far as things that Ruhle said in response to the criticism she's getting about her discussion, her interview with Kamala Harris. And it was that she thinks it's insane that half of America thinks that something that people do illegally should actually wind up having them be punished for said illegal thing. Here you go.
But Jonathan, it's crazy to think that half of America is A-OK supportive of mass deportations. But a lot of voters are.
Why? In all honesty, why? Like, I can play audio on the south side of Chicago. Where these are black voters who I guess in today's society are more allowed to have certain opinions than other people are. But they're saying that it's unfair that their community is overrun with people who have no legal right to be there and resources are being spent on giving those people housing and whatnot. I think they passed a $50 million spending bill for like 30 days of housing for illegal immigrants in Chicago. And people are mad. They're mad on both sides of the aisle. They're mad across the board because it makes no sense. And for actually MSNBC idiots to say on their television station that it's shocking that 50% of Americans would support mass deportation. They support the actual keeping of laws. That's all that is. If you're here illegally and shouldn't be here, and then even more on top of that, many of the people who wind up making the most news and get the most discussed are ones who then are committing crimes and being allowed to keep staying in our country. It just makes no sense. It makes no sense in any version of that. And actually, it makes people mad who do things the right way. If you have someone who comes into the country legally, who waits years for an opportunity to come in and then does whatever they're supposed to do to gain a green card status or anything else, that person's even more upset than anyone else sometimes is in this discussion, because why even bother? becomes the message. So, yeah, holding us to the things that are rules of our society, rules of our country, they actually do make sense. Oh, and by the way, if you need a little bit more insight into who the Democrats really are, not who media tells you they are, not who they want to tell you they are, what the reality of this group of individuals is, there's these moments of lying that are just ridiculous. And Biden is guilty of another one very recently. He talked about J.D. Vance. I think he actually called him Secretary Vance, which is strange. That makes no sense. But he was talking about Vance and saying how he said something that Vance absolutely didn't say. And I'll add even more context after I play both of these clips. But first, here's the lie. Here's the fearmonger version. Here's the version of trying to tell you that I'm the good guy and he's the bad guy. And oh, yeah, in order to do that, I'm just going to make stuff up.
I'm going to be very blunt. Secretary Vance of Ohio has called these shootings facts of life. Who the hell do these people think they are?
By the way, Biden just loves lying occasionally, but he's saying that Vance said out loud that it's a fact of life that there will be school shootings. What did Vance actually say should be your first question you ask yourself. And then we'll go ahead and discuss what he means when he says this. But here is what Vance actually said.
I don't like this. I don't like to admit this. I don't like that this is a fact of life. But if you are a psycho and you want to make headlines, you realize that our schools are soft targets. And we have got to bolster security at our schools so that a person who walks through the front door...
Look, I've talked to all kinds of security experts that say the technology of today is so much more valuable than even in the past 5 or 10 years. Like we've advanced so much in what you can do to make a location, any location, your office, your home, a school, a hard target. And so what Vance is saying there is that it's a sad fact of life that if you are a psycho, I'm literally saying his exact words again, because Biden so much wants to misrepresent them, and you're planning on doing something horrific, and you look for a place that you think you could succeed at doing something horrific at, the sad fact of life is that these targets are softer than they should be. The technology is available. The ability to protect these places is available. You can actually purchase technology that would monitor via video and other things. I've actually seen a demonstration of this, the outside of your building. And if you see someone approaching you, and it can even detect a gun or a weapon in someone's hand, it'll automatically lock down the entire place. No doors will open. Nothing will be, capable of you getting into it. You can have it automatically call some sort of authority to get them to come out. This is all stuff you can do with just basic technology now that schools think is too expensive, or society thinks is too expensive to pay for in some way, shape, or form. And Vance is saying that that's a sad fact of life, that instead we're debating gun control and things that won't matter. And honestly, they won't matter for a variety of reasons. The most important one being the psycho, the horrible person, doesn't care what's legal or illegal and doesn't care what they need to do to complete whatever horrific thing they want to try to do is, whether that's use some other weapon or gain a weapon that's not legal. And all the people who are actually law abiding citizens are the only ones who'd be forced to actually follow these rules. It's just one of the many sad facts of life. But to lie about it and to say into a microphone when you know good and well, if you actually watched the statement, that that's not what he said, but claim that Vance is just saying that it's a fact of life that school shootings will continue. The disingenuous nature, the desire to vilify and make them sound evil, the opponent, is scary. And you see this again, too. I think it was a post office union or something that put out that Trump is a existential threat again. The man has survived 2 assassination attempts, one in which someone actually got a shot off and horrifically probably should have been successful. But miraculously, Trump turned his head and was not killed by that bullet. And it's definitely confusing as to how someone was able to take a shot like that at such a close range. And then another person was one hole away on the golf course from harming the former president. And now there's even belief that maybe the next attack, if someone does attack Trump again, might be, well, he's in the air in a plane. And that is terrifying. But there's so much of this that's being discussed. And then you keep having this dangerous, reckless rhetoric go out. And the only reason I bring that up, by the way, because a whole lot of people on the right, the conservative side of the aisle, whatever you want to call it, I would say that, rhetoric in and of itself doesn't cause people to take action. That's the defense of anything that they say, that the right says, any criticism they lob at the other side of the aisle. And I do agree with that. I do believe that. But if you're going to be the side that harps on this message to begin with, that says you're the one that's putting everyone in danger, and even blame Trump for the assassination attempts against Trump, which is insane that media and the left are doing that. And then how dare you just be a hypocrite, just openly and you know, in whatever way you want to be, and also then saying, but we're allowed to say this stuff. We're allowed to accuse him of being an existential threat, which he absolutely is not. And neither is the Democrats. They're not going to upend the entirety of our country. And you might disagree with that, but because of the protections in place and the lack of a likelihood that, say, a power in everything would wind up in the hands of the Democratic side of the aisle in this last election. Although I'll add one last caveat to that, actually. There's a discussion about the filibuster and how much Kamala Harris wants to do away with it. And you name the issue, and she talks about wanting it to go away, whether it's gun control, whether it's, you know, anything that has to deal with deportation or anything that has to deal with illegal immigrants in our country, whether it's an abortion issue, which I think is the most recent way in which they're discussing trying to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate, just go to a simple majority. All of these things are designed so specifically to, you know, create that power dynamic in the hands of that side of the aisle and try to deconstruct all the things that are in place to prevent it, to actually give us a system of checks and balances. So which side is going after a version of having less protection from the will of one side? It's the Democrats. So constantly trying to go after that version of upending this or upending that and doing whatever they want. And oh, by the way, there's no easier example to their dislike of democracy than the person who's currently the candidate for the office of president on their side of the aisle, someone who got zero primary votes. It's insane to say that out loud. But again, as you talk about all these things and you admit out, you know, to yourself or to anyone else that they can't hopefully get all this agenda done because the system is built well enough to prevent it. You also say that the rhetoric is still, in fact, reckless. And if you're going to criticize it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Darn it. But all right, we'll take a break. A lot more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in, and it's time for Florida Man. Of course, I have to start with the Florida guy who went viral for kayaking in his own living room during all the hurricane craziness and Category 4 storm craziness that is Helene. He decided that the right thing to do was to go on social media. He's sitting. You see his feet in the kayak. His living room is quite full of water. I do love, and this is the start of this video, that he put a pool chlorine dispenser into his living room because he thinks it's going to help clean up some of this stuff. Here's a little bit of this audio.
But at least I'm not electrocuting myself anymore. We got the chlorine going, you know, so try to disinfect some of this nastiness. Sure. That's good. Florida things. Florida man doing Florida things. By the way, please visit hornblasters.com. I'm located here in Tampa.
Okay, I do love that he put out the little, ad for his own company. That's why I left it in. Go ahead and continue.
Florida. Bro, get out. What are you doing? Yeah, I got the chlorine going, so it's
I'll be
good.
Fine. Yeah, why not?
We don't take anything serious. We're Florida, man. What am I going to do? I just checked the weather in between my lives, and it looks like at 2 a.m., the water might start going down.
That's
in the
nice.
Meantime, it's going up. The
I like that he said, I checked the weather in between my live streams. He's like, you know what? I decided halfway through one of these lives, I might as well know what's going on in my area as far as the weather is concerned, since my living room is full of water. But then I'm going to get right back to live streaming on social media.
Of the house, like all this water is bubbling underneath the foundation. So that's not good.
Not good.
I think that's like how sinkholes happen.
I think that is.
The water is smashing up against the window.
Also not good.
When I open it, it gets really choppy in here. it's still coming in through the garage.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting annihilated by mosquitoes already.
Yeah, of course you are. And you're finding things that are yours that are outside of your house banging up against the window. But that's Florida man doing Florida things. And he's not that worried. He thinks things will be okay. Another Florida guy story that I saw that I thought was interesting. There's a lawsuit from a man in Florida that has stopped the sale of Shohei Ohtani's 50th home run ball. Shohei has created a brand new version of, you know, a club for himself in Major League Baseball. The 50-50 club, better than the 40-40 club, 50 stolen bases, 50 home runs in a season. He's the only guy that's a part of it. But a Florida man has stopped the sale, accusing someone of stealing something from him and needs to have it secured. Max Mattis is the guy's name. His representatives say that his client gained possession of the historic baseball. And then another man took it on his birthday. Of all things, man, of course, taking it on the birthday. But the reason that the opening bid of $500,000 and other bids on this baseball have got to be suspended is because of a Florida legal fight, which is just sort of perfect to me as far as topics go. And then one last one as far as Florida stories out there in the world. And I don't know why this has gone as viral as it did. But a woman was rescued after a crash involving her Porsche left her dangling from a Florida parking garage. Inside the vehicle, she did not fall. And as I said, authorities were able to get her out. But what happened and why she wound up dangling from where she was is still, I think, questions that need to be answered. But there was aerial video that went viral of the woman's white fancy SUV just sitting there against a tree in the wrong side of the parking garage. So that's not a good thing either. You probably don't want that happening. I think her and Kayak Guy can get together and have conversations about bad decisions that are made either by them or by others. I really love Kayak Guy. There's something about the hilariousness of a dude who decides that what I'm going to do during a storm that I think is safe is sit in a kayak and slowly watch as it goes higher and higher in my living room and then have a discussion about anything with social media and go viral and throw a few ads out for my own company. There was also another story, I think, that was shared all over the news out of Florida. This genuinely is a little scarier than humorous, but darn it, how can you not laugh at these things? Apparently, alligators are now hunting for food inside of the, flooding that has occurred throughout a lot of Florida. So a warning for a lot of people there on residential streets that might still be flooded is that you also need to pay attention to potential alligators in the area. Luckily, alligators have not killed people in quite some time in Florida, so I think you're going to be okay. But nonetheless, unique additional ad as far as the problem goes. It's like they thought of Sharknado by watching actual news of what happens in Florida and then tried to just vary it a little bit. They're like, all right, this happens there. Let's just go ahead and pretend that this is a thing and see if people watch it. But yeah, again, be on the lookout. Keep yourself safe against the alligators on your residential streets swimming in the floodwaters of Florida. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
The president wants it to end, and he wants it to end as quickly as possible. He wants a fair transaction to take place. And I think, right now I'm campaigning, so right now I don't have much to do with it other than we're doing very well in terms of the campaign. And I've been saying that I believe if I win, we're going to have a very fair and actually rather rapid deal.
It's going to end quickly is what he's saying. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. Dana's everywhere. You can find her D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. There's more from this press conference. The big difference, though, Kamala Harris met with Zelensky. They showed up in front of press and they took no questions. Donald Trump meets with Zelensky. He goes in front of the press and he takes questions and gives answers to the questions. He says that what is fair, which is one of the questions he gets asked to him, is, well, too early to be determined, but probably a difference of opinion between him and Zelensky. And I thought that was the most powerful and interesting moment of this discussion, because you're saying this when you're still running a race, as he just mentioned a second ago. You're still not in the office of president. You're not making this decision, but you're letting Zelensky know, someone who's been showing up on our doorstep occasionally and leaving our country with giant checks, it seems like, for billions and billions of dollars. I think we just gave him $8 billion more dollars, and saying that I want this to end quickly. He wants this to end quickly, and I think it will end quickly, but what's fair is going to be a little bit different for both of us.
It should stop, and the president wants it to stop, and I'm sure President Putin wants it to stop, and that's a good combination. So we want to have a fair deal for everybody.
What do you envision is fair?
Well, it's too early to say that. I mean, I have my own ideas, and I'm sure the president definitely has his own ideas, but it has to be fair.
This war shouldn't be started, and I think that the problem that...
All right, Zelensky's going to go on and talk about how his position is that the Ukrainian people who've sacrificed so much in fighting this war deserve a fairly emphatic win, which includes help gaining control of territories that have long been contested between Russia and Ukraine, not areas that they controlled comfortably before this started. And I think that's where Trump is unlikely to be as supportive to Zelensky's position as, say, Democrats are. And in all honesty, and I'll just say this again before I move on to other stuff that's important and out there today, and this is the best way I can position this discussion for it to make sense to people that think that we should continue to write blank check after blank check to Ukraine for whatever they say they need it for. And the best way to say it is that if Ukraine had come to us and asked for help in winning over these contested areas between those two countries before Russia invaded them, we wouldn't have done it. And none of Europe would have done it. We wouldn't have given them aid and military equipment to fight that version of a conflict. And that's the one they're trying to win now, which is too far. It's something that, again, the United States has to draw a line and say no to, as Ukraine is asking us if they're allowed to strike further and further into Russia with our weapons. All right, moving on. Another big thing today. Kamala Harris is finally going to the border. She was the border czar and the vice president and had no interest in visiting the border. Now she wants to go in Arizona, a place that she thinks is probably a swing state she can still win, although most of the polling is showing a deeper and deeper likelihood of Trump winning in Arizona specifically. But nonetheless, she's going to be there. She's going to talk about how it's important to her and how she's a prosecutor with a track record and all this stuff. But two pieces of audio have gone viral in response to this, even before Harris says anything at any border place throughout our country. The first one is how defiant she was in having to go to the border back when she was just the vice president. She didn't want the issue tied to her then. It's undeniable that she's a connected piece to it now, so she will go and confront it. But for political reasons only, when she was first appointed border czar, she didn't want to be blamed for how bad things have gotten there. So this is how she reacted a couple years ago with Lester Holt. Viral. A lot of people remember this, but nonetheless important to play today as she's finally going to the border.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. I don't understand the point that you're making.
I think the point you're making is pretty clear there. Are you going to go to the border? You're saying you've been there, but you haven't. So your answer would be no then. You could just say no. You know what? That's funny to me, actually. There's a lot of situations in life where people could just say no out loud, and they don't want to say no for whatever reason. Politicians for sure, but even other people you run into and interact with. And so they just try to avoid the question as much as they can, instead of just being like, my answer's no. And I'm going to sound like a jerk when I say it, so I'm not going to go that road. But she is finally going today. Also, all of the times that she said that it's not a crime to be an undocumented illegal immigrant in our country, according to her, again, a prosecutor who's trying to now run on a platform that includes that she held those that did these sort of things, responsible, and she was tough on this sort of behavior when absolutely she was not.
It is wrong to somehow suggest that an undocumented immigrant is a criminal.
Being an undocumented immigrant is not a crime.
It
I
is.
Know what a crime looks like. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
They
an
are.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
They are breaking the law because they're here when they're not allowed to be here. That is a crime. So you are a criminal by any simplistic definition there. Does it mean that you're doing other bad stuff? I don't know. I'm not going to say yes or no to that. And I think that's the point that she wants you to think that she's trying to make or compete against. But literally, this is ridiculous. And to continue to tell us that she's going to be tough on the border, it's hilarious. You don't have to do much as Trump to demonstrate the stupidity of anyone that might believe that Harris is going to try to shut the border down, even though she says she's a fan of the wall now.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
Not a criminal.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
All right, I'll stop it. There's like 50 more seconds of that, and I could just keep going with it. But this is where she also says that none of her positions on things have changed, and it's, hilarious for a variety of reasons. That would be one of the biggest ones. All right, some other things just quickly. As far as severe weather in the South goes, Florida has been hit with a lot of flooding, a lot of bad sort of category 4 storm stuff, but it's not necessarily been as bad as far as the hurricane making a landfall there and causing the kinds of horrific things as you saw just a couple years ago. Georgia and their governor is out there, Brian Kemp, saying that sadly, there have been lives lost because of this, I think 11. So there definitely is some bad things happening as far as this storm goes in parts of our East Coast, in parts of our Southern East Coast. And yet, one of the things I did see was someone tweeting about climate change and that discussion there. And I just have a genuine question. And you don't have to answer it yourself, but feel free. If you want to yell it at the radio for me, that'd be great. How many people in those areas right now give a crap about that discussion? I wonder how many people in those areas right now are thinking about that instead of thinking about their own personal safety and making sure they're okay. And granted, a lot of argument could come out as to how hurricanes have really only been bad for the last couple of years in Florida. And we saw a long period where it wasn't anywhere near as bad as it is now. And nonetheless, all these other versions of back and forth in that debate. But I just wonder how, when people are in the thick of whatever the problem is that they're facing, they love the political spin that is played on that stuff. Because I imagine it would be probably the most annoying if you're someone's family member and you want to call them up right now and be like, hey, if things are going bad for you there, or if things are a struggle at all, just remember to think about how only one side of the aisle wants to fight about climate change, and they're the side trying to help you, even if they would misuse all the money we give them for whatever it is the issue is, or the fear-mongering thing they say they need money for. Oh, and actually, one last thing, as far as Harris goes, and this also went viral in response to this, she has talked quite a bit about how aid from the federal government should go to just some communities and not to others, even in the case of floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, anything. She thinks that there is a disproportionateness to which these, funds are actually allocated, and she wants to fix that. So it doesn't matter if your community is hit harder than another community. It matters what your race is as to how much support you get. These are her own words. I'll go ahead and play them.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
This is crazy to hear somebody say this in response to what's going on right now, to be like, well, we got to make sure that the makeup of the community that got hit hard is the right makeup for us politically, so we can say that we're helping people who are disadvantaged and we want to keep buying your vote, essentially. We don't want to do this because you actually need the help and your community was devastated by some sort of natural event. That's not how we decide where money goes anymore. It's horrible. Just saying that out loud is the kind of thing that people are now more and more comfortable doing on a certain side of the aisle. And you sit there and you think to yourself, at least I hope many of us do, am I hearing this? Like, are these really things that are being said the way they're being said, that you want to choose based on race how to allocate resources? No matter what way you're doing that, that should be considered fairly simplistically wrong. But nah, it's all right in the world we live, as long as you're doing it the way that those people on that side of the aisle tell you it's okay to do it. Those people being the Democrats, don't try to throw anything at me as far as what else you think I meant there. I meant these individuals who tell you what they actually care about. And then actually you play audio from people within a community themselves. There's audio of, I think it's 9 individuals all doing like a group discussion. They're all black men and women, and talking about how little they think Harris will actually do for them if she winds up in the White House, which is sort of profound. And maybe I'll play that a little bit later on in the show, too, because you hear it from people that these politicians are trying to convince that I'm the only one who cares about you, saying, hey, we can tell you don't care about us at all. So that's powerful. And then, of course, ignored by most of mainstream media. All right. I'll take a break on that. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff out there to discuss. Let's do a quick 5.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
One of the quick 5 topics that I thought was interesting out there, Target has just updated its return policy. They said they're now allowed to refuse certain returns if they think that something fraudulent is happening or something else is going on. They used to have a fairly lax return policy, as some other brick and mortar stores, box stores have had, but they've had too many issues there. Too many people taking advantage of it, so they're hoping you don't notice. But the next time you swing into Target, if you have something that they're not really sure actually is theirs, you might actually get the rejection. They might say no to the refund. Another thing out there as far as the NFL goes, of course, Thursday Night Football last night, a lot of people complaining about the amount of flags being thrown. Apparently this year, the NFL is trying to focus on offensive procedure penalties, meaning movement before the snap of the ball, which is causing a whole lot of flags to, in fact, be thrown. It's increased every year. Offensive penalties the last 3 years. This is the worst one so far after 2 weeks in the NFL season. And it's just annoying. And it's also just fans are saying that I just want the game to be played. I don't want you to keep slowing it down. Even Al Michaels was a little bit saucy about it the other night, saying that it felt like flag day, which I thought was pretty funny. Another viral trend out there is trying to discover or actually try purple apples. TikTok is telling you they're delicious. They say they're grown mostly in Canada, in Saskatchewan specifically. Here's the problem. They're not real. There's no such thing as a purple apple. AI created the images that have gone viral online, causing farmers in certain places to be very annoyed by the amount of young people showing up demanding a purple apple that they have not created. Oh, and if you find the version closest to it, say a black or a rotten apple, you shouldn't eat that. That's not going to be delicious and good, even if it looks like it could be similar to the product you just saw on your social media page. But I love how stupid this is, that people are like, oh, the purple apple. That's the next thing I got to try. They're saying it's delicious, and it just doesn't exist at all in any variety. Although someone's going to make one in the very near future, I'm sure someone's going to come out with one, and that's probably not going to be good for us. I have no idea what will actually be in it, and you probably shouldn't trust it. All right, other things out there as far as quick five topics go. A doctor said that you're making 3 dangerous laundry mistakes and wants to help you not make those mistakes anymore. Before I even tell you what they are, I just find this hilarious that somebody would go on social media and be like, your life is in danger, man. The way you're doing your laundry could be awful. If you wear clothes that you never washed, this guy, this quote unquote expert, is telling you that there might be certain things in them for storage reasons that might get on your body, and that might be awful. Also, if you use fabric softeners, he's warning that some might be better than others and some might harm both your clothing and yourself. And then finally, if you buy detergent with perfumes and dyes in it, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio, but I'm doing it because I just found it amusing. It got millions of views and a whole bunch of people are like, well, I got to make better decisions with the laundry detergent I'm putting in to clean my clothing. That's not at the forefront of my mind or the forefront of the things I'm worried about right now. Maybe it should be, I don't know, but I can't help myself when you see the guy pop onto his social media page and go, this is what's really dangerous today. You wonder to yourself how much crazier can get than this, but he's claiming that these chemicals are bad for everybody. You know, he's probably right. I'm going to go ahead and cede that there might be something about it that could be true, but here's the thing I would say. There's more important stuff going on. I have bigger issues that I'm dealing with right now than making a mistake as far as chemicals go there. But thanks to that guy. His name is Francis, and he works at Cornell University. If you want to go ahead and look him up yourself and see if he has something that makes sense to you. All right, we're going to take a break in just a bit. After the break, I will talk about some of the biggest things going on out there in the world, including Harris's response to some of the ongoing bad things happening on the East Coast, in the South. That and more coming up in just a bit.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Lots of stuff out there to talk about. Find Dana at DLash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter, the best way to stay connected to her. There's a lot of news about new polling that shows Trump pulling away in a lot of different battleground states. This is stuff that you probably don't hear about everywhere, doing better and better in Arizona, doing better and better in several of these places, and actually even doing well enough to be somewhat threatening in places where you think he has no chance of winning, even in places like New York, where Eric Adams has, of course, now been indicted. And Trump actually recently talked about that indictment by saying that he was pretty sure Adams was going to get indicted as soon as he started to say negative things about the current administration and how they've been handling the migrant crisis. I thought that was pretty interesting. And here's a little bit of actually that audio of Trump saying this. because it does, in fact, matter. And it's part of the, I think, reason that maybe the indictment itself has occurred is to give the Democrats a way to say, hey, we haven't politically been going after Trump this whole time. See, we go after our own, too. Even though out of all the people to choose to go after, Adams would have been the most vocally critical of them, the people going after him now. Here we go.
I will say this. I watched about a year ago when he talked about how the illegal migrants are hurting our city and the federal government should pay us and we shouldn't have to take them. And I said, you know what? He'll be indicted within a year. And I was exactly right.
You were.
Because that's what we have. We have people that use the Justice Department and the FBI at levels that have never been seen before.
Look, and I do think if you're on the Democratic side of the aisle or just probably in general for most politicians, a lot of people are doing bad stuff. A lot of people are corrupt. And so there's a lot of individuals that you could indict that you could actually prove did something wrong and get them in trouble. And I wonder if that's what's going to happen with Adams here, if he did do the things he's accused of doing. But the reason he's being gone after and others on that side or in general in Washington or not is because, oh, yeah, we like all those people. They're not being critical of us. And you are now a demonstration to why everyone else should keep their mouth shut. We get you to do something wrong and then we own you forever. A version of thinking that seems to be out there so much. Another thing that I really like that's going viral. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Was speaking on behalf of Donald Trump, something he's done a lot recently. And he made a specific point about something that I've actually talked about in some radio places myself about like what MAGA really means. And actually, he goes into great detail about what he's pretty sure it means to the Democratic side of the aisle before saying that he understands it better than they do. And I'll play a little bit of that audio, but I want to react to this because I do really like this. And even the discussion you could have with a family member, a friend, when they say, how dare you vote on that side or for that person if they're a crazy and to the left, and how easy it is to be like, I don't think you actually are paying attention to anything really going on or any of the real discussion. You're just listening to this version of MAGA equals evil, terrible, bad, and not necessarily what real life is. Here we go.
I went to President Trump and I said to President Trump, if you want my help, I am here to do it. And we worked together for a while. But I started to understand that MAGA, you know, for most Democrats, MAGA, Make America Great Again, means going back to the 1950s. And they say it's racist because we didn't have civil rights in our country at that time for Black Americans. They say it's dictatorial and it's against freedom of speech because that was the era of Joe McCarthy. And they say it's isolationist and retrograde. But the more that I get to know you, and the more that I get to know Donald Trump, I understand what MAGA really means. And
look, I think that's a fantastic way to preface this discussion. The more that he gets to know you, and he's pointing to all the voters, all the people out there cheering him on as he says that MAGA actually means bringing about policy and decision making that helps benefit the United States as a country and doesn't let us be owned by the rest of the world or you know, sacrifice too much here, too much there. MAGA versions of policy might involve doing a 200% tariff on Ford, something Trump said recently, because they're trying to move all of their warehouses to Mexico. And he doesn't want to see those jobs go over there. He wants to demonstrate how there could be more power to us doing more here. And I also love the other part of that about comparing it to, say, a foregone era, the 1950s or whatever you want to say, and then just adding a bunch of pieces of information that have nothing to do with any of the conversation today, as if that is, it's a false premise, but then you keep diving into the false premise with more and more avenues to see how bad this is, how bad these people are, and not just the people who have the policies, but the people who support them. And so I find that to be fascinating and fantastic that RFK Jr. would say, the more I get to know about Trump and about you, the people who support him, the more I understand what you actually desire. And it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with desiring a dictator. Trump does not actually want to be one, of course. And he made a joke to Sean Hannity that, you know, the Democrats are far too eager to pretend was a sincere comment, which is just ridiculous. But nonetheless, as any of that stuff happens, you just continue to think to yourself, people who want to vilify something that they refuse to even attempt to understand are in fact the bigger thing separating us in society than those who just disagree with them, who would like to do different things and think some policies have actually hurt us and made things more expensive. And you'd like to see that energy independence or whatever it is come back and be at the forefront of some of these discussions. All right. I want to play something else. I thought this was interesting. This is a news story out of Arizona, Maricopa County, of course, as far as a place that gets a lot of discussion. And there's a lot of curiosity as to whether or not some of the accusations of fraud and other things might in fact be more true than some think they are. And there's nothing better to ramp up the validity of that discussion. I won't say necessarily the validity of the position, but the discussion itself, than this piece of audio or this piece of reporting that you're probably not going to hear a lot of places. This is a guy finding out that he's a registered voter in Maricopa County, even though he never intended to register to vote, and then trying to remove his registration. Here's part of this story.
Caught off guard, Luke Lehman said he never registered to vote, but then he got this voter education guide in the mail. And then he got this voter identification card, labeling him as a registered voter with no political party affiliation. The catch is that Lehman's is not a United States citizen.
Whoopsie.
That's not right. I want to know what's going on, and I want to basically cancel my registration.
He's been living in Arizona since the 1980s on a green card sponsored by his employer based in Belgium. Lehman's doesn't recall ever willingly registering to vote.
Okay, I'll stop it right there. How crazy is the first 36 seconds of this news coverage? They go on to say that he got a driver's license updated and maybe something happened where as he's updating his driver's license, someone also registered him to vote or something. There's some sort of a version of a kind of explanation of it. But nonetheless, if you're looking at certain places, places in, say, Georgia, Arizona, some of these that have come into significant, questions have been asked and significant consciousness in the country. And then you hear this story, you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, though. They've told us that all this is crap. And there's some version of this where at least in some off chance, there might be some more truth than we've been told before. I would like more answers. I would like more looking into these things. I think the biggest mistake that was ever made in 2020, I'm not trying to prop up the 2020 election fraud discussion per se, but was not doing a deeper dive and allowing, say, the Supreme Court to hear a case, even if you thought it had absolutely no merit and it should have just been thrown out. Because when that gets talked about and when Trump says they didn't let us bring our argument to the court, regardless of how much or little the average American understands about that process, it is true that you didn't get to see that argument happen in a way that might have benefited more of us. And then you see a story like this leading up to the 2024 election, and you think to yourself, how does a guy who's not allowed to vote because he's not a citizen get registered to vote when he didn't even want to be registered to vote? And then you have more questions and no one provides those answers. All right. One last thing. I want to play this too. I thought this was really important. The Daily Caller talked to the mother of one of the survivors of the Afghanistan terrorist attack during the failed exit of Afghanistan. The Abby Gates survivor and his mother were thrown off many times by Biden and Jill Biden, by the president, his first lady, in the way they interacted with them and in the things that were even being told to them. And even in one case, the mother says the way the doctor was talking about certain emergency needs as far as tragically this person, this military member of ours lost their leg. And it's surreal to hear these stories, these discussions, and then to continue to realize how little the average news outlet or whatever you want to call it, mainstream media, cares about this. And they instead talk about other things that don't really matter. This is important. And these are voices that should be highlighted. This mom has a life altering thing happen to her son who volunteered to serve and protect our country and whose leadership failed him. And it's almost nowhere. The Daily Caller did this interview. Here we go.
So I was running around my office taking care of things, and my staff was trying to get me to leave. And I was fielding calls that were coming in from family and friends and colleagues. From there, I then went and picked up my daughter at high school and told her in the car. And then we drove from her to my younger son, who was in elementary school at the time. And it was interesting because that's a hard moment, because when I pulled up, my daughter was in the car and I was on speakerphone. I got a call from Germany and I knew it was about my son. So I answered and it was the operating doctor in Germany. And, you know, one of my regrets is that call was on speakerphone when I answered because I was driving and then I had to pull over at the school, the elementary school for my son. I hadn't yet gone in to get my little son. And the doctor then started describing to me how sick he was. And again, still describing him as very, very ill, but they were telling me that they needed to take him into an emergency surgery. And the reason they were calling me is because they needed to take his leg. And at that time, they only thought it was going to be amputated up to his knee is what I understood. And they told me.
It was obviously worse than that. These are the conversations and the voices that have been silenced by the left, silenced by Harris. On stage during a debate, she says no one is currently in an active situation where they're in a combat zone. And that's just a lie, blatant lie. And military went online and showed us not only are they in dangerous situations throughout the world, but they are shocked that someone wouldn't know that. And about this issue, she said that she was proud of the exit of Afghanistan, or at least thought it was the right decision when Biden made it because of the amount of money we were spending. And actual members of our military were harmed and families were changed. And there seems to be no remorse, no caring about that. And it's disgusting. And so this, one of the more powerful things out there, 25-minute discussion, Daily Caller has it. You can go find it and watch it, and you should, about just how difficult that time period was for this mother of an Abbey Gate survivor and how confusing it was that the Biden administration didn't care about her or her family at all and practically ghosted them during conversations. All right, quick break. A little bit more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back on Monday. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio. Best ways to stay connected to her on Twitter, on X, DanaRadio.com too is a great way to stay connected. A couple other just ridiculous things out there before we get out of here today. A couple allegedly tried to sell their baby for $1,000 in beer. A couple in Rogers, Arkansas are now facing some serious charges because that's not a thing you should be doing. Darren and Shalene are the people's names. They walked up to somebody and they wondered if they wanted to buy their baby for a six pack and a grand. And that's horrible in a bunch of ways. I feel terrible for the child. That's definitely going to be hopefully in a better place very soon when they're not with this family anymore. They cited when asked questions about why they were trying to sell their baby for $1,000 that they have three dogs and that was too much work already. So the baby just made things too hard. So instead of selling the animals, the pets, they're going to go ahead and sell their child. This is ridiculous. As I keep saying this, I can't fathom the reality of this thing. And also just like picking somebody on the street and being like, hey, we got a baby. You got $1,000 in a six pack. All good. Another story out there that I thought was interesting. A woman who is an actress of a certain variety on adult websites, again, of a certain variety. This is radio. I'm not going to be more specific than that. Got in trouble because she went into a hardware store and then made a video she should have made there. She has been banned from said hardware store. I think this happened in Australia. The crazy thing about this is the woman thought that the hardware guys wouldn't care. She's like, you know, the place I picked, I thought they'd be pretty cool with things. So I thought that this wouldn't make anybody mad, but not allowed to do that in public, in places that you're not supposed to be doing certain things. So she's in quite a bit of trouble again. And there's a video of her even going viral describing how she was shocked that they turned on her, the hardware store guys, because, again, she thought that that was a safe place for her to do what she was doing, which is not allowed. That's, again, as I said, illegal. I am, I guess, a little surprised that some of those dudes were not as happy as other ones, but maybe it's the other customers, the human beings in there that weren't expecting that in their everyday life. That was part of the problem. But just a message to anyone out there who's on said sites, don't go to a hardware store and expect you to be treated than any other place in society if you do something that's inappropriate in public. Finally, one last quick thing that I thought was interesting. The average person has been pressured to tip 40 times in the past year, more than they thought was necessary. They don't want to tip, but they still do it. The average person, cracks to the pressure of tipping way more than we thought they did and needs some help and not doing it anymore. That's another real story out there. I don't struggle with this as much as some do, but tipping fatigue is part of the issue. All right. Before we truly get out of here, we can actually also do a moment today in stupidity if we have one ready to go.
Yeah, this one's a pretty short one, but as you saw it last night, we covered about Biden calling J.D. Vance Secretary Vance, remember last
yes.
night? We missed one of these quotes last night. He was talking about mass shootings and everything about schools and stuff. But see if you can catch this slip up here. Let's see. What he
said. Sure.
And I've been to all the 3 mass shootings in the United States of America.
Oh, wow.
All but 3, huh?
Yeah, that's incredible for Biden. I didn't know exactly how old he was or how often he would go to stuff. But all right, that's interesting. All but 3. That's a weird brag, too, by the way, as far as Biden putting that out there. That seems like a strange thing to add, even if you thought it had value or even if it was true, which obviously it's not. But Biden's brain's still broken and he's still the president. That's the craziest thing. Just real quick to say, I had this conversation with a friend just the other night that was like telling me about the election and all the stuff going on. And it seemed like they totally forgot that Biden is still in charge, as most people probably have. This broken-brained human being is still making decisions in our world and in our country, and that's probably bad for all of us, and certainly you'd think would be worse for Harris than media is pretending it is. But all right, that's it. That's definitely a moment in stupidity. I'm out of here. Dana is back on Monday. Check her out everywhere on Twitter and whatnot. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.